Good day, my name is Herman Pretorius. Welcome to the Daily Friend Wrap. Our thoughts go out to Mr. Nick Lorimer, who is taken ill today, and that is why I am standing in for our dear colleague, and we wish him all the best. So, for today's wrap, I'm joined by Makone Maja, the IR's campaign manager, and she will be helping me jog through three stories that caught our eye, starting with the recent floods in KwaZulu-Natal. Now, this is quite an interesting topic for me because recently, only a few days ago, I actually got a Facebook memory reminder of April 2022, 2 years ago, almost to the day, of extreme flooding events occurring in parts of KwaZulu-Natal. And at the time, it was the worst floods in the history of the province. And this led me to try and read up more about this topic. And I found a PhD thesis by Zachias Adrian Boetes titled Flooding in KwaZulu-Natal, Modeling History and Future Aspects. And why it came back to me today, some of the stuff that I read in that thesis, was the lives lost over the last few days. Some of them were in the Margate CBD. And if you look at this 2014 piece of research, 10 years ago, we see that this area where the flooding occurred was marked even then as a high-risk area. And if you then look at research that was carried out, I think, by Birmingham University with some collaboration from South African researchers, they come to this conclusion that CBD flooding in general is not the consequence of uncontrollable weather, but the consequence of bad city planning. So, Makone, this led me to the point of thinking, my goodness, natural disasters are policy crises. What do you think?
I certainly agree, Herman. I've actually attended a few seminars where they speak about even climate change events, right, that countries can start preparing for, because these are the sort of things that you can map years in advance, as you have shown with this research. But I do think that we have a lot of problems with city planning in the country where planners just develop areas in swamps, literal swamps. I think Centurion is one of those where, and it's become sort of a joke on social media that if you live or work around Centurion, if it happens to rain, it's likely that your car will probably be one of those just carried by a flood. Your homes will be one of those that are just flooded from top to bottom. And so there's certainly a problem there with how surveyors or property developers are allowed to continuously build in areas that are uninhabitable by a government that, as you are able to show in this instance of Margate, would have been made aware years in advance. And I don't even think this flooding issue is isolated. I've read reports about some of the water issues that we're encountering now that date back 2002 that show issues with some of the water systems, wastewater management systems, drinking water management systems, documenting that if these are not expanded to accommodate for growth in population, which I'm sure is of a burden to these CBDs that you're referring to in the instance of floods, that if accommodational provision and infrastructure is not made to be able to accommodate those huge numbers of people that will be there in the future, then there will be disasters as we're seeing at present.
And it is so tragic because these are lives lost, livelihoods destroyed, ambitions lost that were avoidable. And I really hope this triggers a conversation about the ability of policy to affect not just, you know, stuff like economic growth or GDP data, but real lives, people who lose their homes and their loved ones. And then the next story I want to take us to is something that you brought to my attention, which is in, I think, engineering news. It's about millennials, young people wanting cars, but struggling to afford them. Will you expand a bit on that for us?
Certainly. I think for a lot of millennials when I say we have a lot of boomer envy because we're just simply living in different times. The financial pressures on millennials and Gen Z just seem to far outpace what boomers were able to go through. I mean, the boomer generation was able to buy houses and cars, things that we're struggling so much with because, of course, of factors beyond the government's control, like pandemics, right? But also a lot of it is predicted. So the article is a report from WesBank saying that millennials, Gen Zs, want cars, but are struggling to afford them. And it says that this is contrary to previously held views by industry experts who suggested that a desire for private car ownership would wane amongst millennials and Gen Zs in favor of alternate forms of transportation, such as e-hailing services, so your Ubers and your Bolts. But that vehicle purchasing among this age group have, however, indeed slowed down, and that people under the age of 35 accounted for 39% of new cars 10 years ago in 2012, but only 31% in 2022. So we're working so hard, but we can't even afford to gain some sort of autonomy and independence and I would think for somebody in the middle class or as looking to be in the middle class, a car would be the ultimate form of independence and autonomy. But even that seems to be not within reach for us millennials and Gen Zers.
And what this tells me about young people in South Africa is two interesting things, that young South Africans want that freedom you're speaking of. It isn't that young South Africans are dreaming about, you know, the wonderful Soviet era railways or whatever. They're not desiring this idealized Marxist transportation system where the bourgeoisie and the workers can actually sit next to each other and, you know, long live social justice. They want cars. They want the basic liberal instinct of the freedom to move from A to B, to go shopping, to go pick your kids up at school, to run a small business, to start a small business, to go to university. So that's the first thing is we must remember that the facts of life remain pro-freedom. And then the second thing that stood out for me from this, which is quite tragic, is that there's this desire, but the economic circumstances are sort of smothering the ability of South Africa's young people to make the step in the direction of what until 10 years ago was considered, you know, one of the early steps in entering into the socioeconomic middle class and building that generational prosperity momentum.
Absolutely, Herman. And even just linking this back to the topic that we discussed at first about planning, I was listening to the CEO of the Gautrain talk about how the Gauteng can't grow, right? But that what we will see in the future is that it'll take longer and longer and longer to travel on our highways, something like an hour to travel between Gauteng, between Johannesburg and Pretoria, because there'll be so many cars on the road. And the solution to that problem is not creating more roads, but creating more railways for the Gautrain. I'm like, that is not how you gauge demand for train public transportation. People want vehicles. People want independence. People want autonomy. People want the freedom to move around at their convenience. So absolutely, millennials and Gen Zers have spoken on this. More freedom, less socialism.
Yeah, and speaking of freedom, socialism, and young people, our last story for today is good old Cupcake on the campaign trail. And he had this encounter with, you know, investigating service delivery homes, speaking to people about crime. I mean, the ANC would know a lot about crime, so probably the experts to speak to. But what stood out for us was when a lady came up to him with some concerns about whether her home will pass to her children when she dies. Cyril's response shocked us a bit. Will you unpack that for us?
Yeah, I am just the level of tone deafness, but of course our president is a millionaire, so he can afford to spout statements such as these. So the woman says to him that she's worried that she does not own her home and is worried about dying because will her house be bequeathed to her descendants? And the president proceeds to tell her to lawyer up. Just simply get a lawyer so that you can get a title deed. I mean, what world is he living in that he walks up to a woman who, by the way, just to give you an idea of the class that she was happy to receive a t-shirt from the president. She this actually, it says in the article that him giving her a t-shirt just made this whole conversation go away, the conversation about housing and essentially property rights go away at the sight of being given a basic t-shirt. And I wanted to say about this specifically that people tend to think that land reform needs to target those few South Africans, as they say, who hold so much of the land. But what about the millions and millions of title deeds that are with municipalities that need to facilitate that transfer of title deeds from the municipality, from the government, essentially, to the individuals? The Free Market Foundation estimated that about 5 to 7 million of title deeds are held by municipalities in this country, and that those would account for homes of about 20 million South Africans on average. So there's a lot to be said about how land reform targeting those farmers who hold huge swaths of land is not going to make our problems go away, because a lot of them have to do with administrative inertia in our bureaucracy.
Now, we know this is a president who is about as flat-footed as it is possible to be in terms of those spontaneous engagements with voters. This is also the guy who said that there's no farm murders. No, not that farm murders is a blown-up issue, but that there's no farm murders. So clearly, this man stumbled into the out-of-touchness that South Africans have come to expect and experience from the ANC. I, for one, can't imagine someone coming to me being a powerful person in this scenario that could do something about this woman, concerned about her kids, concerned about not dying because her kids might not have property rights. And the response is, get a lawyer. I mean, that boils my blood. And I think that should really mobilize South Africans to understand that property rights, the expropriation bill, it's not a middle class issue. It is a basic issue. The facts of life remain about freedom. Makone, I say thank you for joining me today. And to coin a phrase, to actually steal a phrase just shamelessly from our good colleague, Mr. Lorimer, thank you for joining us. I hope you enjoyed the show. That's a wrap.
The Daily Friend Show and The Daily Friend are a project of the Institute of Race Relations, the IRR. The IRR is a think tank which was founded in 1929 to study race relations in South Africa and works to change government policy to improve race relations through non-racialism and to ensure the prosperity of all South Africans. If you like our work and would like to support us, please go to irr.org.za and click Support the IRR, or you can go to thedailyfriend.co.za and click the Fund Us button.